You could stand at half court and ref better than these guys.
Knocks one down and is called for another foul.
Tic Tacko, come on.
Tacko's having some fun here.
I disagree with it. It's fine. You're allowed to disagree. I'm not trying to get you angry.
No, I got you. I'll disagree if I disagree and we'll have a discussion. But yeah, all right, you ready?
Yep.
All right. And we are back with another episode of From the Rafters. Sam and I are here recording on Wednesday, June 2nd. The very busy day of Wednesday, June 2nd. We woke up today. Celtics eliminated 4-1 by the Nets to a couple Woj bombs that had me pretty shocked. I'm a little baffled still. I don't know about you, Sam, but yeah, it's kind of wild.
Yeah, I was at work and I just got in. The first one came that Ainge was thinking about stepping down. And I was like, well, like, I mean, I've heard that he's been thinking about it for a while, but then it comes out he did step down. And then it comes out that Brad Stevens is going to be the president. At that point, I don't know if it was in the initial tweet or not, but I just kind of said, all right, well, he's just going to do what Doc Rivers did with the Clippers, and he's going to coach and GM at the same time. And turns out Brad Stevens isn't the coach of the Celtics anymore, which is extremely weird to think
very
about.
Very weird. Very, very weird. I don't know. I don't think it wasn't in the initial tweet, but Woj did that thing where he like quote tweeted his tweet like 30 seconds later. So you probably just saw the news, put your phone down for a sec. So yeah. If I had to guess, but I mean, in hindsight, and I tweeted this out, in hindsight, Woj going, Danny Ainge just thinking about stepping down is like when he said the Pelicans are thinking about taking Zion Williamson because the NBA got mad when he spoiled all the draft picks. Realistically, that's probably what the tweet meant. But yeah, I mean, I was just completely taken aback by the news, especially when it like Danny Ainge stepping down is like, okay, maybe Mike Zaire, and like when the whole like strongly considering thing came out. And then it was just like, nope, Brad Stevens is taking over. They're finding a new coach. It's pretty much a, I don't want to say a hard reset because you still got the same team. You're not rebuilding or anything, but a hard reset to the coaching staff or just the whole consensus of how the team is put together at the very least, right?
Yeah. And the strangest part about it to me was that Brad Stevens was like, yeah, like I was worn out or whatever he said, burnt out, worn down after
declined
the bubble.
He declined that in his press conference.
Oh, he said that's not true?
Yeah. Yeah, he said no, if they had asked me to coach, I would have kept coaching. This is just what we thought was best for the team. I have no problem coaching. The bubble, in fact, he said, it's actually the opposite. The bubble was probably the best basketball I've ever witnessed. So I think he just completely refuted that Woj claim. But I don't know. Maybe he was lying. But yeah, continue. Sorry.
That's still strange that, like, that was even a thing.
Yeah, it makes you think a little bit.
Who knows? Then you got to think, like, is that their way of, like, firing him? Like, did they fire him as coach? But, like, they had him signed for so long, they're going to get something out of him, which is something I saw. I don't necessarily believe, but it is a thing floating around that I saw. But I'm kind of bummed, to be honest. I like Brad as the coach. I know some people don't. I think we, meaning you, me, Tim, KJ, the Bannertown boys, all agreed that, you know, that was something we all liked. We like Brad, but I'm happy that there is an ability to change here with Brad sticking around. Like, I'm happy he's not gone because I like him. I think he deserves to be a part of whatever's going on. I think he has done a tremendous job coaching. I don't think any of the times they've really gotten beaten have been his fault.
Except for maybe Miami. You can
maybe.
That's the only one that's a question. Yes.
Even then, like, they had guys on Miami playing out of their fucking mind.
Yeah.
You know, like Tyler Hero sucks, but he played good. Duncan Robinson had a really great series, even though he's not really bad, but he was, you know, really, really good. Jimmy Butler played a lot better last year in the playoffs than he did this year. That's for sure.
Clearly.
Bam, more impactful this year. I mean, last year than this year. I mean, they all, like, overperformed, obviously. You see how their season turned out this year. They couldn't take a game off Milwaukee. Celtics took a game off Brooklyn. Who's the real victor?
We don't have to get too deep, rehashing some old wounds there with the Heat series for Sam. But yeah, I don't know if you caught all the quotes. Obviously, the Celtics held a press conference to formally announce it. I listened to it. I heard it all. Wick was there. Pags was there. Yeah. Ainge and Stevens were both there. And from what we heard from Wick and Pags, they loved the idea of Stevens in office. In fact, I don't know if you heard this quote. I don't want to say went viral, but it went around.
Get better teen or die trying.
Yeah. It was basically on and off the court. Brad wants to bring Celtics pride to the levels that we're accustomed to. We're going to win banner 18 or die trying. We believe Brad is the person to lead us on the basketball side as we go towards that lofty goal. Thanking Danny, thanking Brad, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds like they have complete trust in him. Like, I feel like if they were just trying to, quote unquote, get the money out of him while they can, they wouldn't entrust their entire organization in Brad's hands. Because realistically, he's the guy now. He makes the picks. He makes the trades. He does the stuff. Like, you're putting the organization in his hands, which I sort of like, because he knows the way Brad phrased it was, I know who's on the roster. I know what the team needs because I just coached this team for 8 years. So that means I should be able to effectively help it. That also makes me a little worried because knowing Brad's coaching style, I'm hoping he doesn't go with the experimentation route because, you know, Brad loves to experiment with his rotations. So imagine Brad experimentation as a GM. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think he's going to do that.
Like, yeah. He's one thing about Brad is he's like you said, he knows what it takes to win. He knows what it takes to have a good player. He knows what a good player is. Not that Ainge didn't or any other GM really doesn't. But he's definitely qualified to do the job. I think they cited his time at Butler as a strength of being able to find talent. Things like that are going to be important to him shaping this team. He's got some decisions to make, which I'm sure we'll get to, if not today, over the court. We have a long time before we have any new content to talk about, at the very least. I mean, it's going to be a while, but then you've got a lot of decisions to make. So I'm interested to see what he's going to do. And it's strange that Ainge is not Rhyme. It's strange that he's not in charge anymore. It's like
it's a weird feeling.
You're not going to relate to this, but it's like when you watch Endgame and you realize all the people that you grew up like being the main characters aren't there anymore. Yeah. And like, sure, like that's how it is with players. Like, you know, the old big three retire or aren't on the team anymore. Isaiah Thomas isn't on the team, things like that. But I mean, this guy has been a stable piece through all of it. Now he's not there.
I don't think it'll really sink in until next season starts, if I'm being honest, or at least till draft night, because that's going to be Brad's first test, in my opinion, outside of the head coaching thing, which we can talk about in a little bit. But I see the draft and the offseason like, Brad's got to make some signings. Now, think about this, Sam. We've talked about a Kemba trade all season. If Kemba gets traded, it's going to be Brad Stevens, right? How weird is that?
Well, it's weird, but for the Celtics, for the organization, it's good. If you really want to spin it that way, because
I disagree. I'm nervous.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Let me talk, sir. I'm just joking. But the reason why I think it's, or I don't know if I would say it's good, but it's better than it would be because Ainge is the one that signs him, brings him in, signs him. Brad Stevens is now inheriting this team as a general manager and not as a coach. So it's not like Ainge signed him just to ship him out. Now Ainge signed him, somebody else is left with it, albeit it's Brad Stevens, but it's a whole new guy to make that decision. It's not sending a message to players saying, we're going to sign you, but you know, the same guy that signs you might ship you out the next day. It's not that anymore.
My point is, do you think he'll be too nice to make the necessary moves? Cause think about it. Like you still think Ojale, Carson, like possibly Kemba, like, do you think these players are still gone? Because, I mean, they built a relationship with Brad Stevens more so than Danny Ainge. You know what I'm saying? So, like, now you've got a guy who built a relationship with these players that's going to be tasked with dealing these players or trading them or cutting them or all that difficult thing.
Well, that is a fair point. But you did mention, like, I mean, Ainge has a relationship with all those guys, too. He signs them. He's in the
not the same. Not, the it's not, not the even same. Close to, not even close to the same. Not even close.
it's somewhat similar. It's not exactly the same, and it's not really super close. But I mean, he's still there. He's still talking.
So you're telling me Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau. You're telling me Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau have the same relationship with the Knicks players. I don't buy that for a second.
I didn't say it's the same. I say they still have a relationship.
Okay, I'm saying it's not even close to the same though. Because Brad Stevens deals with these guys on a personal level, and Danny Ainge, while he does too, he's not connected to the point where he's going to have a problem shipping them out. And now Brad Stevens going from connecting with these people on a personal level as their coach to having to make those tough decisions. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying that's got to be it's going to be very interesting to watch how that breaks down. And I'm confident in Brad Stevens. I think he will be able to do it, but I don't think it's an unfair discussion to have.
Well, I mean, answer this then. Like, if somebody, let's use Doc Rivers, because that's the one I can think of off the top of my head, is president and coach at the same time in LA when he was. I mean, he's gonna do the same thing. It's been done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you ask Danny Ainge what the hardest part of his job is, he'd probably tell you, like, telling guys that they're traded. Like, okay, he probably doesn't. Nobody at the
same.
That.
Of course. But at the same time, Doc Rivers and Brad Stevens are extremely different personalities. The point I was trying to make is Brad Stevens too nice? I had never thought Doc Rivers was too nice, not once in the entirety of the time he was in Boston. Brad Stevens, really quiet guy, really reserved guy, really nice guy, generally speaking, in the NBA. I like I said, I'm confident he can be, you know, the GM trade guy. But I mean, our friend Danny texted me today. He said, Brad Stevens going to get trades done the same way I get girls, by being the nice guy. And I don't know if I believe that. It's just like, can Brad Stevens get it done with this, you know, super nice, super, you know, reserved persona that he's built up in the NBA?
Yeah, I think so. I think he also is going to have a clean slate. You know, people talk about nobody wants to deal with Ainge just because, you know, he's always... People will say, like, he's always looking to screw people over, things like that. Brad has a clean slate. He doesn't have that. He's still with the Celtics, though. I mean, obviously, the organization itself has a reputation of always wanting to be on top, things like that. But he doesn't have that hanging over him anymore. He doesn't have, with incoming players or free agents, the whole Isaiah Thomas thing where, you know, they, however you want to look at it, right or wrong, Chicago did the same thing to Derrick Rose. I mean, nobody talks about that. But people complain about that all the time. Look at Anthony Davis. His father was complaining about that when they were talking about trading for him. He said, why would I want my kid to play there? What they did to Isaiah Thomas. That's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Danny.
Yeah, and I think Brad will have a chance to build that clean slate. And like I said, I'm not saying Brad won't be able to do that. I just thought it's interesting to see a guy who's super nice.
Come on.
I know.
He's an adult.
Danny Ainge has this reputation, like you said, of being this cutthroat dude. Cutthroat and Brad Stevens don't go in the same sentence. I'm not saying he can't be, but I think it'll be a very different personality in the GM's office, which maybe is a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing, because at the same time, the pros of Danny Ainge are – he always wants to be on top, and he's always trying to make the best move for the Celtics. But the cons of Danny Ainge are he's always trying to be on top and always has to make the best move for the Celtics. Maybe Brad Stevens, you know, doesn't think, oh, I always have to be the winner of the trade. Maybe he does a trade
knowing
that it will be better for the team. Okay, yes, but you know exactly what I'm saying. Don't try to spin it. Like, Danny Ainge, it's to the point where if he's not winning the trade by, like, this much, he's not going to do it. Brad Stevens, maybe he's willing to do those little trades to make the team better slowly over time instead of making the big hitters and always having to be the best. You know what I'm saying, though?
I understand what you're saying, but every GM has the same mentality. I mean,
but Danny, like you said, Danny's reputation is that of...
He has a reputation. Doesn't mean it's necessarily true. It just means he has had those deals where it's been so insane to where people talk about it, you know? Like, yeah,
and I mean, I'm going to point...
The Garnett trade was lopsided in hindsight. The Brooklyn deal, obviously. In and out. Yeah. The Isaiah Thomas trades, both of them were pretty lopsided.
I'm going to point back to the Gordon Hayward thing. And before you say, oh, he could have gone anywhere, there always are those rumors that, you know, Indiana would have accepted this and Hayward would have gone there if Ainge had just taken Turner and McDermott instead of asking for Turner and Warren or Turner Brock. You know what I'm saying? There's always those rumors. There are always the rumors that, you know,
yeah,
oh, we were so – I know, but then the rumors that are incessant that – Ainge, oh, we were so close to getting a deal done. Oh, we were like, and not all of those can be fake. Some of those are probably Danny wasn't willing to give up enough. Maybe not even that Brad Stevens gives up too little. Maybe he's willing to overpay for a guy that will help the Celtics go over, get over the hump.
Off I'm just the top that. Of your head, Jack, how many, like, can you say, like, deals that he said, like, they were close on that you really look back and say, damn, they should have done that?
I'm not saying even damn they should have done that or whatever. I'm just saying all these mini deals. And yes, you think of, oh, Anthony Davis, whatever, hindsight's probably better because they kept the Jays. James Harden probably didn't want to give Jaylen Brown. But even over the years, those mini deals, like, oh, maybe getting Vucevic, maybe getting a role player here and there. I'm just saying having a different personality in the front office is probably a good thing for the Celtics at this point where they're at.
It's definitely not like the worst thing, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, and I don't think this is what you're saying, but people all the time give him a bad rap because of things that, you know, you're bringing up. Yeah. Like, oh, they were so close. But if you really think about it, like, there were a lot of times they're close, and, like, you look back on it, and you're like, damn, like, good thing they didn't do that. Like, it wouldn't have been worth it.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, there's the pros and cons of Danny Ainge. And then I'll give up another point. Sam, maybe Brad is going to look at these players like Trevor Ariza, Dwayne Dedman, and think like you and think, oh, they're free. Let me give up a second round pick because we don't have to hold on to
maybe
everything.
Maybe he will.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just like a different change of pace in the front office. Maybe it's a good thing. I'm very intrigued because the way Wick and Pags described Stevens in the press conference was a basketball junkie, grew up in the basketball. Brad Stevens was like pouring his heart out to the Celtics in the press conference. He's like, this is the like organization I want to be a part of. Like, I want to win them banner 18s, blah, 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 all this. So I'm very, very intrigued to see how this offseason goes because there are a lot of potential big impactful moves he has to make. Think about it. All these things we talked about, re-signing Fournier, Smart's contract, trading Kemba potentially, trading Smart potentially, getting rid of Carson, Ojeleye and them, hitting on the draft picks. Like, there's a lot of pressure on him this offseason that was going to be on Danny Ainge, and now that pressure is now going to be on Brad Stevens, right?
Yeah, and the Kemba thing is so funny to me because on one hand, I think it's the easiest thing to do and say, like, they should do is to get rid of him because of the money he makes and his inconsistency of being able to play. But realistically, like, there are a lot of times where he's been good. I'm not trying to completely defend him because I think it's valid to be upset with what you've gotten. But, I mean, he was pretty solid towards the end of the year this year. He was obviously solid before the bubble last year. And he's got a whole offseason to get right here. He said he doesn't plan on sitting back-to-backs next season. He's not, like, ruined. He's just made of glass temporarily.
I don't know. I'm more hesitant.
Getting rid
Kemba.
Of him is the safe move, depending what you get back. What the penalty is, I guess.
See, I want to talk about Kemba. I want to wrap up the Brad Danny thing real quick. What do you think of the move from, we're just going to give it a grade or just overall summary of our thoughts really quick before we move on to the Kemba thing. What do you give the move, you know, Danny Ainge retiring, Steven stepping up as the GM? You can give it A plus, 1 to 10. Give me some sort of like reaction to the
I'll give
move.
You a TBD.
Okay.
I don't know yet. I don't hate it. I think it's so funny. Like, it's just weird, you know, like, I don't really know how to react because we haven't seen Ainge. Stevens is a GM. We've seen him as a coach and he's done well there. And he's done a great job of making the most out of what he's had in the situations where that's been the goal. Right. Yep. So as a GM, he might be able to do very similar things. I think
exactly.
He is going to be able to draw people in. Oh, fucker. He's going to be able to draw people in by maybe the nice guy approach. I think people respect him around the league a basketball mind. I think the biggest question here is not Stevens as the GM, because I don't know how important that is. As long as he's not like stupid, I think it's more of who the coach is going to be.
Yeah,
and we can get into that next. I think we can move on after that and talk about offseason stuff, and then I'll complain at the end of the show. But
yeah, for sure.
That's the biggest question. And I sent to you and Tim and KJ today that it's really inconsiderate that they didn't do it last year when there were more coaches available. Doc Rivers could have been a nice guy to have around.
You could add Tibbs. You could add all these guys.
Tibbs.
That could have come in and helped the Celtics. But,
well, Ty Lue, of course.
Yeah.
Basketball Ty Lue.
All these guys.
Could have had D'Antoni. before he agreed to be with Brooklyn, like Kenny Atkinson, which you can still get.
Plenty of guys. I think the Brad Stevens move overall, though, like you said, he made do with the pieces he's had. Well, sometimes they probably weren't the best. Like even this year, you could argue the team put together isn't the best. So maybe he'll know what the team needs and he'll go out and get that. And he can use that nice guy persona and trick GMs the same way Danny did and saying like, oh, I'm just this nice guy, then fleece them. You know what I'm saying?
I think Brad Stevens is a prick, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I think Brad Stevens might be a prick, to be honest with you. Not that like he's like a bad prick, but like he's like a Belichick kind of like guy.
Yeah.
Like he's very laid back and like he doesn't like blow up or anything, but like he's like a killer on the inside. Like kind of like Ainge, because Ainge is super nice, doesn't swear, like kind of dude, but he's just got the reputation now
that he's Mormon, right? Isn't he a Mormon, literally?
He's like super proper. But Brad Stevens is the same kind of thing as Belichick to me. He's very, you know, winning oriented, eyes on the prize, doesn't like giving too much to the media kind of deal. I think it's very similar.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I really hope you're right. I really, really, really hope you're right. I think that'd be sick. It's just a matter of time, I suppose. Like I said, this offseason is going to be a huge test. But getting into the next head coach, I'm very intrigued and very excited, because as much as I think Brad Stevens did an amazing job, a phenomenal job, I think a switch up, like Brad said in his presser today, he said a fresh perspective will probably do the team some good. And I think a more offensive-minded coach could do some good, a player's coach even for the superstars. Not that Brad did a bad job. It's just, you know, a new face in the locker room could help the team out. So we've seen some of the options. I'll pull some up really, really quick here before we go. And from what I saw, I thought the options were super interesting. There wasn't necessarily anybody that stood out to me off rip, unless I'm forgetting somebody, but I'm very intrigued to see how they go. So right now, according to Sportsline, Sam Cassell plus 300, number one, Chauncey Billups second, Jay Larinaga, Jason Kidd, Becky Hammon, Kenny Atkinson, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Jay Wright, Juwan Howard, Rick Pitino, thrown on Rick the end Pitino there. But
on there is comical.
Very funny. And then other names thrown in there. Yeah, Adrian Griffin's in there, who I don't think I know who that is. Ime Udoka, Sixers assistant. Kenny Atkinson, Alvin Gentry's up there. So some very interesting names. Are there any standout that I said to you, like even a couple that you think you'd like?
Well, we've talked about this when people would bitch about Stevens and say they want him fired and things like that. So we always would mention Kenny Atkinson because he did a terrific job with the Nets when he was there. And, you know, it would be interesting to see what he would do in the Celtics. I think most people that were in the NBA's point guards are always good candidates, Billups and Sam Cassell. Maybe Cassell more than Billups just because he was more of a less of a scoring kind of guy. You know, Billups is really a modern.
Mm-hmm. And Cassell's done great with the Clips. He's done a good job with the Clips under Lou and Rivers. So,
yeah. So you got that. I mean, I personally, not on that list, and it's not really realistic, but I think Rondo, if for some reason he wasn't playing, would be an excellent.
I believe you, dude is
really smart. Like, he is ridiculously, like, intelligent. He would have the team doing things. I mean, he's out there calling plays for the other when he's defending the other team. He's saying what they're doing.
Do you know who I think would be an amazing coach on that same line, who obviously won't be a coach anytime soon? I really, really hope Draymond Green becomes a coach in the NBA someday. I think that'd be electric. It'd be so
fun. He's a smart guy. He's a trash talker. He's loud. He could probably motivate his guys. Yeah, I see it. A lot of people wanting Kevin Garnett, and I don't think he's a head coach kind of guy. I think he'd be a great assistant coach to have around. I think he'd be really good for that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Becky Hammon is a real underdog. I think like under Pops all this time, I think that'd be amazing. Those guys are usually great coaches. Like Taylor Jenkins, I think coached under Pops for a while. He's doing great in Memphis. Becky Hammon, I think, would be great. I really like Kenny Atkinson, though.
Another disciple of Popovich is Brett Brown. excellent coach, Brett Brown.
I saw a meme on Twitter that said he was the favorite. People are getting mad in the replies.
It's very difficult for me to really get not excited, but to say, to pick a favorite out of people on this list, because a lot of them haven't coached.
I have a favorite.
They haven't coached at the NBA level on a consistent isn't the right word. It's like more of like a long tenured span where yeah. they've been in charge of a team and you can measure the success. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult for me to pick. You know, like somebody like we mentioned already, like Doc Rivers last year would have been good because you, I mean, he's been here, but
I mean, wouldn't bring him back though. I don't think.
Why wouldn't you bring him back?
It's just like, why not? I don't know.
It's not like it's the same guys.
True. I don't think you'd want to come back. I mean, they'd trade. I guess he wanted to leave. I don't know.
He wanted to leave. He didn't want to go through a rebuild. Yeah. They obeyed what he wanted.
So would you be intrigued at all? I know you say you want, like, oh, this guy that's coached or whatever, to bring in from college. Would you be okay with that at all? Or are you looking mainly towards NBA guys?
Brad Stevens is an outlier. So traditionally, college coaches don't transition well to the NBA.
I can think of a few.
I don't know, man. Like, who would you want? Are you going to say Coach K?
No, he's retiring. I think he's done. I don't think there's any
chance. I do, too. I just didn't know because I saw that floating around today because his news came out after the Celtics.
I mean, if you're talking about college
there
coaches,
is no one that...
I know you said, like, oh, there aren't that many guys from college. I mean, Billy Donovan is another guy. Obviously, Chicago hasn't been successful, but you got to give him a couple years to deal with that shit show.
Well, he's done well. He's done all right, the Thunder teams.
He's done solid. I'm just talking, like, if you're looking at college, like Jerry Stackhouse is out there. You're looking at Jay Wright at Villanova. Like, there are guys in the college game who could have potentially some success in the NBA. And then, obviously, I mean, I'm just looking at lists online now. You see Tim Duncan, obviously, out there. Kenny Atkinson, David Fizdale. I doubt you'd want him. I mean, do you like Jason Kidd at all? That's one of my least favorites, probably. But
absolutely yeah. not.
I was gonna say, probably not great. But I mean, Dave Jaeger. I don't even know. Like, I'm just like looking at. I Googled.
That's what NBA I'm saying. Like, there's not a lot of people out there that you really say like, wow, you know, like that's who I would like to fill in and be the next coach.
I mean, you could look at Lloyd Pierce. I think Lloyd Pierce would be okay.
I don't think so. I don't want any part of that.
Why?
I'm going to tell you why. Because he was the coach in Atlanta, and then he wasn't the coach in Atlanta, and then they started playing good.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason he's not the coach of that team anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's valid. That is valid. Mike D'Antoni, maybe. I think that'd be a solid fit.
I don't think he can come in. Why would he leave?
Yeah, true.
If he wanted to be head coach, he would have done it somewhere.
Would you want Mark Jackson at all? I'm looking at guys. I'm just looking.
Mark Jackson annoys me on the broadcast. However, if he was to, you know, be on the Celtics, he wouldn't be on the broadcast anymore. But if you really want to talk about Mark Jackson seriously without me being a dick, he did a lot for that Warriors team before he was fired. And I was talking to a guy at work. I don't know how true this is or not. I don't know. But I guess, like, when he was fired, like, it wasn't because, like, he was doing a poor job. It was because, like, he said something and, like, wouldn't apologize or something like that. So they just got rid of him. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, like, a performance issue. It was, like, he was, like, headstrong, which is fine. Let him be headstrong. I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe it'd be interesting.
Do you bring a Van Gundy back? Jeff?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I just don't think their style fits the league anymore.
Yeah, and you're seeing that with New Orleans right now. They're a fucking mess.
Who's Jacques Vaughn? Who?
Just take Jacques Vaughn, Nets assistant. He's a Nets assistant. He's very good. Very good.
He'll be the next head coach, and I'll be all over him.
A couple well-regarded assistants, Ime Udoka and Darvin Ham, are a couple good ones. I know. I don't know if you know too much about assistant coaches, but. They're solid.
What do you think of the former player? Or they're on the Celtics.
Wes Unsell Jr. Is out there existing. I'm just looking at any other guys.
Blow my brains out.
I think most of the guys you said are probably the top options. I'd love, I blanked, Kenny Atkinson. The one thing that worries me about Kenny Atkinson is that the place he got most of his success was with a Brooklyn team that didn't have a ton of talent. And I think the Celtics team does have a ton of talent. So I'm curious to see if that coaching style transitions well to the Celtics. Do you know what I'm saying? Because they're very, very different teams in very different places.
Okay. He had his most success when they didn't have a lot of talent. However, that was the most talent he had in comparison to all his time at Brooklyn.
Also true. Like, also true. How long was he in Brooklyn?
I mean, I think he was there for most of the time after Jason Kidd. I think he was next.
I can look.
You can look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I don't think he was like a 1 year kind of guy. He was there when they were really bad.
2016 to 2020, yeah. So I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe he can come in, take the talent he's given, and be really good. Do you think there's any chance the Celtics pull a Brooklyn Nets and hire a former player or someone with very little coaching experience?
Well, Billups is up there. Who is Billups' coach?
I'm pretty sure he's been a coach before. I mean, you could look at the college game, too, with former players like Jerry Stackhouse and Patrick Ewing, if you want to really get into it. But I'm fairly certain Chauncey Billups has been a coach before. Patrick Ewing, yeah, he's with Georgetown, right? Yeah,
he's not leaving.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like if they're going to go to college, they'll go local. But I don't know. I don't know enough about college to tell you anything. I think I wouldn't be shocked if they like give me somebody. I have no idea who they are. I honestly wouldn't be surprised at anything. Who knows what they're going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I personally would like a former player that was a point guard, smart guy. Kind of deal. Like Rondo is my ideal guy if he's like 5 years older and isn't playing anymore, to be honest with you. I when I'm thinking about a coach, I want somebody that's going to be in it for a while. I don't want someone that's going to come in and screw around and flounder out. I want somebody that's going to be at the head of the ship for, you know, like 5+ years. Like, you want a stable force there. You don't want to have to have a revolving door of coaches, because then you're wasting time. You don't have time for that.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Cassell's probably up there then in terms of former players. Chauncey Billups would be okay. Billups is with the Lakers. I mean, sorry, the Clippers right now as an assistant coach.
They both are, no?
No. I was wrong. Cassell moved. He's with the Sixers now. So.
Okay. Well, he's Doc's staff. Why?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did. He moved with Doc. That's facts. But, I mean, you could look to, I mean, I Googled top 100 smartest NBA players. I bet I'll come across a few that could make decent coaches. But looking through Gary Payton, do you think he would coach?
You know what I'm thinking about? And it's going to be on the list. Dude, what if they had Larry Bird coach? How old is he? Is he too old to want to do that?
He's probably in his 80s. 64. He's only 64. Wow.
I don't know if he'd want to do it. Wouldn't that be something?
Be very weird. I don't think they'd bring him back because he was the Celtics head coach, right?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was the Celtics. Oh, he's the Pacers coach. You're right. I was looking in the wrong place. And he only coached for 3 years. So, maybe he comes back.
When he was coaching.
Hey, maybe he comes back. Maybe they bring a legacy in. I don't know.
I would like to see something interesting like that. It's probably not going to be him, but that would be a nice story. I'm all about the story. So, yeah, if you ask me who my favorite candidate is, there you go.
Larry Bird. All right. I mean, Tim Duncan, if they could prime away from this. I don't think he's even coaching with the Spurs anymore. I think that'd be intriguing.
He stepped away. I think you're right.
You bring in him. I mean, you could obviously bring in like a John Stockton or a Gary Payton, but we're just looking at
John Stockton would be an interesting one.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I mean,
talking about
all time assist leader. Like, he's, I hope he is. Yeah. He's definitely all-time assist leader.
Far and away.
He's like one of the top minds. Like, you gotta have something. There's gotta be, I don't know. It's hard. I don't know what to say about coaching, because I'm gonna say, like, my thing I was gonna say was like, oh, like, you know, you can't bring in like Joe Schmo, but that's what they do with Brad Stevens. So
think you bring in Isaiah Thomas?
Which one?
Like old Isaiah Thomas.
He was a horrible coach.
Was he? I don't know.
He was with the Knicks. Like, he was bad. Like, they would boom and stuff.
I think sleeper candidates, bring in Andre Miller, the smartest role player in NBA history.
Honestly, like, role players are the ones that usually make the best coaches. Like,
I'm telling
you. Give me one besides, like, Bird, who was good for a couple years, like we just talked about, that was, like, a star player that was, like, a killer coach.
I was going to say Jason Kidd, but you said killer coach, so I guess not. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Bill Russell when he was a player coach. I guess. But yeah, I mean, I was half joking about Andre Miller slash Gary Payton. I think either of them would be all right. But like I said, we're just kind of looking at random players. Now, I think Kenny Atkinson realistically is probably one of my top options. I think one of those assistants in like Ime Udoka would be good. I think Sam Cassell would be good. Chauncey Billups is fine. It's just like you go through the list. I'm sure Brad Stevens, obviously, he's got a good coaching mind. He'll find somebody to fit the role pretty well. So.
He's not stupid. He'll figure it out.
Exactly. And with that, I suppose we can let's make a guess. That way we can have the receipts if we're somehow correct. Sam, would you like to guess who the next head coach of the Celtics is?
I like to guess.
For the receipts, for the purpose of receipts.
If I had to like place a wager who I think it would be, I think Cassell is probably your best guess to who it's going to be.
He played for the Celtics, right? Or am I losing my shit?
Yeah, he was on the 2008 team.
Okay, yeah. If it were up to me, I'd probably lean towards Sam Cassell as well. But sleeper picks, in case I am somehow right, Ime Udoka is up there for sure. Kenny Atkinson's another one I like. And then Gary Payton and Andre Miller. I brought them up half as jokes, but hey, you never know. And Jerry Stackhouse, too. Jerry Stackhouse, too. So I'll throw some names.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's just Jay Larinaga is the next coach.
I wouldn't love that. I wouldn't love that. But
I wouldn't be.
Jerome Allen. I mean, Jerome Allen is up there, too. Jerome Allen, I've heard in the rumor mill as well. Another Celtics assistant. So you never know.
Perhaps.
You never know. But yeah, let's move on. Talk about offseason moves for 10, 15 minutes or so. And we'll wrap up the show here with plenty of news. And hopefully we'll get some more in the future about rumors. And we can talk rumors until the offseason and the draft, which I know you love talking about rumors, yeah. Sam. yeah.
Do I? No, I don't think I do.
That was sarcasm.
I'm trying to think if I bitched about rumors or not.
100%.
In the offseason, it's not bad because we don't have anything to talk about, but in the regular season, it's annoying, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably when I was complaining about it.
We were talking Kemba a little earlier. Let's get back on that discussion because I don't think you'll like what I have to say. I don't think you get anything substantial in return for Kemba Walker.
I don't think so either. It's just you have to pick your spots because you don't want to just get rid of him to get rid of him.
Do you?
No, you don't. You have something. Why would you give it up for nothing? Unless you're completely convinced that Kemba is a cancer to this team. He does not fit right.
I'm not saying he's a cancer to this team, but I'm not. I don't think he fits right.
I don't think he fits right either. But I think he fits all right. I think if you moved him off the bench, he could work. You're bringing in a new coach. That could change the way things work. He has a whole summer to get right. There's a lot that goes into this, Jack, and I don't think selling low is a good idea regardless.
Unless
you're absolutely certain that he is washed, done, will never play again to any level, and he's just going to be a pain in the ass to have around.
I think he'll average like 14 points on like 42% from the field and 36% from three next season, which is his career average percentages wise. But I don't think he'll average that many points at all. And at that point, would you rather have him doing that or would you rather invest more into the future of Peyton Pritchard? Because I think you got a future in Peyton Pritchard there. And I think you can sign a veteran backup point guard or even a starter while Pritchard gets accustomed to that role. And I know a trade you like, and I'm sure there are plenty others around the league. You take Kemba Walker, you take a couple seconds, you dish him for Al Horford.
I love it. I was going to bring it up after you finished. I was going to say, why wouldn't you do that? You have, and if they're going to get rid of Kemba, I think that's the way you should do it. Maybe not even for Horford. It depends what's around. But I think if you're going to get rid of Kemba because he makes a lot of money and he doesn't fit what you're looking to do, find another team that has somebody that's making a lot of money that doesn't fit what they're looking to do and just switch. Because Al Horford fits what you want to do. He's not washed. He had a decent showing in OKC when they let him play. He had a down year in Philly because he was not fitting in right, which is what's happening with Kemba. And I feel like in the right situation, he might play well again. And then people are going to be like, oh, look what they did. And it's going to be annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have the right opportunity, go for it. But if it's not really making you better, I don't see why you would. At least not give it a chance. You know, like, I see no reason to get rid of him until, like, you see what he's got again at the beginning of the season.
I suppose. So, I mean, I'm looking around the league. I'm going to throw some names out there for you. I think I know your thoughts on this, and I think I share the same thoughts. But Kevin Love, Sam?
I mean, he wouldn't be the worst in the world. Like, he's a big that can shoot. Like, he fits a little bit. You don't have that. It allows you to put Tatum at the three if you want. You can put Jaylen at shooting guard, and you can run Smart at point. I think that's what their plan is going to be. I think Marcus, over this playoff series, really proved himself to be important to this team. KJ was saying the opposite. He really bumped up his trade value. But I think he kind of showed, like, hey, guys, like, look, I have a switch. Like, the playoffs come around, like, I don't fuck around. Like, I'm going to be able to be an impactful player for you. I'm scoring the ball. I'm playing defense. Like, I'm making a difference. That's what you need. And I think giving up that guy is stupid, especially when he's been with your franchise for eight years. 7 years? I don't know. He's been here a while. I think trading him is wrong, especially if you're not getting something otherworldly back.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, realistically, the trade package for Love would probably be Kemba Walker and a couple picks, or maybe even less. Maybe it's a straight-up swap, and I'm talking seconds. I don't think you'd have to give up a first in that deal. Another name, John Wall, Sam? I think his contract is definitely bigger, but I think he definitely fits better with the Celtics.
Well, John Wall fits better. You're right. Like, these are things, like, let's flash back, right? Like, let's go back to last summer, and this is something I've mentioned before. Like, if you really wanted to get rid of Kemba last summer, you could have, like, go get Westbrook. Like, you can swap. Like, this is a thing that you can do.
Hindsight's
like, there are other players around the league. Now, maybe John Wall is not a player you want to go and get, or maybe he is for multiple reasons. He might not be because you can say, look, he was struggling in one situation, you took him out of it, and he struggled in another. But on the other hand, you can say he was on a bad team, he went to another bad team. And if you put him on a good team, how does it happen? He's definitely the kind of guy that's going to penetrate and get the ball to the basket and create collapses.
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were going to continue there. I blanked. I mean, just in terms of defense and playmaking, I think John Wall outweighs Kemba Walker. Obviously, the only difference is John Wall makes around $10 million more than Kemba Walker, which is kind of ridiculous considering how bad Kemba's contract. I mean, while making that much more than Kemba, 10 mil is, you're taking a risk there. And it's not like you're getting earlier. It's the same. You're not getting off the books in earlier unless he declines his player option, which I couldn't imagine doing. But
maybe
I think
he
that's
does.
Up there.
Depends no what shot. Is what. No. Listen, it depends. Well, we said that for Gordon Hayward. He left, so.
Because he got a similar amount of money, though. He got a similar amount of money than he got.
It depends what John Wall's priority is, Jack. And this goes for everybody. If he wants to win, which I'm not saying he's necessarily going to. Okay. This is just an optimistic thought. He sees what's around him. He says, okay, I make a lot of money that I shouldn't be making. He could be like, I don't need to make $38 million a year. It's simple as that. I mean, I can make the team better. Why would I keep hold the team back by getting paid?
I suppose.
It depends what the mentality is. That's all.
Exactly. Yeah. You never know. It depends on where his head's at. But, I mean, Al Horford, Kevin Love are probably up there as some of the top options. Another one which I don't necessarily mind too much, Kemba Walker and Tristan Thompson for Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's not horrible. I think Bledsoe's a decent fit. He doesn't have to be a primary scoring option, which he shouldn't be. He can be a solid secondary scoring option. He plays defense. Steven Adams is a big paint presence. The only problem with him is he can't shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Steven Adams would be on the books till 22-23. He makes 27 mil this year. Next year, he only makes 17 mil, and the year after that, he only makes 18 mil. So it dips down for his contract extension. Bledsoe makes around 16 mil this year, 18 mil next year, and then 19.3 the year after that, but it's non-guaranteed. So I don't know. It's like after June something. I don't know how the non-guarantee works, but you're getting off both those contracts around the same time as the Kemba Walker one, but you could argue the fit is better. And I think the defense with Bledsoe is probably better. The playmaking, I suppose, is probably better. I don't exactly know his playmaking numbers.
Wait,
but
Jack, you said
it's around the same.
Yep. So they would have them for three seasons or two?
Though they'd have – so Kemba's on the books for this past season. I guess it's over now. And then two after that. So
why are you mentioning the past season? That's why you're confusing me. Who Who cares? They're not paying him that.
I'm sorry. Okay, my bad.
Apologize. Adam, yeah, that's right. Apologize. Apologize.
Adams and Bledsoe made Adams made 27.5 this season. Bledsoe made 16.8 this season. Next year, as in this upcoming season.
Okay, this is what matters.
Yes, they make 17 for Adams and Bledsoe makes 18. Right? And then the year after that, Adams makes 17 and Bledsoe makes 19, but the 19 is not fully guaranteed. I don't know how exactly that works. I'd have to do some research, but it's not nearly as much as it is less than Kemba as a whole. You're also dumping the Thompson contract for Adams, who I would argue is a very similar player to Tristan Thompson, maybe not as good an offensive rebounder, and then Bledsoe, who you could argue is a better fit with the Celtics overall.
How does Adams play against Embiid, Jack? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, but it would only take me a few seconds to find out.
I think it's a legitimate thought, because that's the only thing that kept me from saying like the Celtics could handle the Sixers easily, because they need somebody that can really stay with him, and Adams is a freak. So that's someone that, in theory, should be able to hold his own at least a little bit.
Do you want to know this season or in seasons past? Like, because he had obviously a weird year in New Orleans. Do you want me to look at his last year in Oklahoma City or something? Or yeah, should
just give me like a little bit of an idea.
All right, I'll take a look at this year.
You can look at the recent one, because that's really the most valid.
Gotcha. All right, we'll go here. We'll go offensive player. We'll go Joel Embiid. Steven Adams had the second most matchup time. He only played one game against Embiid this season. Embiid, Sam.
He dominated.
You're about to fall in love. Steven Adams held him to 3 of 11 and 0 of 2 from 3.
Look at that.
In almost 7 minutes of game time.
Look at that hypothesis, dude. I'm a genius. I don't know what you want from me.
Hey, let's keep going. Let's take a little look. We'll dive into the Steven Adams hype a little bit here, shall we? OKC the other year. Let's see how he guarded Embiid. Because, OKC was good last year, right? Steven Adams guarded him for two games, a total of 20 minutes matchup time. Held him to 15 of 31, not great. 4 of 9 from 3, not great. Embiid scored 38 points over the span of two games.
Last year.
Yeah. OKC was in the playoffs last year.
Chris Paul. That's right. They were the fifth. That's right. Chris Paul was on their team. I completely forgot.
They were very weird, though. I'll give it to you. They were decent. But he guarded him very, very well this season. So, I mean, hey, the option's there. I think he's the best matchup, one of the best matchups around the league, and purely from a physicality standpoint. And then I like Bledsoe as a fit over Kemba at this point, probably. But
I think whoever your next point guard is needs to be in a smaller role, more of a distributor role. Yeah. Like Kemba is as solid as he is, and I'm not out on Kemba completely yet. I think it's disappointing that he missed games in the playoffs. I think he played disappointing basketball in the playoffs. I'm not disregarding that. But I still think he has something left to offer. I'm not out on him completely. I think he's played all right this season when he was finally getting going towards the end. I don't think he's gotten a fair shake from a lot of fans, but I understand the need to maybe move on just because of the amount of money he makes. And if you did what you're suggesting with these other two guys, you potentially have an answer to that. You know, like there are answers to this. You just need to think, because there are other teams that are like, damn, like it kind of sucks that we have this guy on our team that doesn't fit. Like, oh, OKC, we have Steven Adams on our team that clogs the paint, and our best player, Zion, is a paint guy. Huh, that's probably not a good fit.
I don't really understand.
Celtics, we have Kemba Walker, who is a scoring point guard when our best players are scoring wings. Oh, that's probably not a good fit.
Yeah, I don't really understand the whole thought process with what those guys got going on. But another idea, if you throw, I'm sure you'd have to throw maybe a first, a couple seconds into the deal. You could realistically probably work out a deal. I'm throwing in the trade finder as we speak to see if it works. If you want to shed Kemba, right? You want to shed Kemba. That's the idea. Trade him to the Timberwolves with a couple seconds. You get Ricky Rubio, Juancho Hernangómez, Ed Davis back. It gives you a passing point guard. Juancho Hernangómez is an okay role player. Ed Davis is just a throw in to make the salary work. And then you have some more wiggle room flexibility. Ricky Rubio's contract is off earlier.
Minnesota. Reed. He's not bad.
No shot they give him. No shot they give him to you, though. And the money wouldn't work. The money wouldn't work.
I'm just flexing that I know things.
You're flexing that you know Nasreed. You know Nasreed was
role players.
Tremont Waters' college teammate. You know that?
I did not know that, but I knew he played decent against Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Played with him at LSU. I'm trying to look at other contracts. Obviously, Al Horford. I'm just going down the list.
Al Horford is probably my favorite. Did you know he can play against Embiid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if he's washed. Like, I think it's unfair if he comes back to immediately assume that he's going to be the same guy he was in 2019 and 2018. But I think it's like, it's not out of the picture. Mm-hmm. Like, he was fine this year.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad at all. I think you could find they him. Know him. He played really well. Yeah, he played really well.
They like him. And he would have stayed if it wasn't that fucking prick, Kyrie, who we can talk about in a minute.
Yeah. 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 I mean, we'll start to wrap up. The one last trade I will bring to your attention that, I mean, you could like is you could trade him to the Kings for Mo Harkless and Buddy Hield. Or Buddy Hield and someone else. If you want to get some shooting, you probably have to attach a couple picks to dish them off to the Kings. But hey, if no one else is willing to give up stuff for Buddy Hield,
Hield makes a lot of money. Walker,
he makes $24 million. He's got a long one. I can tell you exactly, but he's on the books for I think 3 more years. Yep, this one, then 3 more. But he makes declining money. So he makes 22 this upcoming season, then 20, and then 18. So it goes down a little.
I don't know if you really want to like get in an extra year on any of these guys if you're getting rid of Kemba.
I mean, Buddy Hield, 28 years old, 40% 3-point shooter. He knocks them down. I mean, yeah, you're talking about you want to
get like a 40% 3-point shooter, like for not that much money.
I guess. Oh, also,
I was actually about to bring up one thing I'm really intrigued by, and I know you were kind of in on this was. I believe Duncan Robinson said like fit was a big thing for him.
I was just going to bring him up.
He's from here, man. He's from up here.
I would pay Duncan Robinson a lot of money. I'm just going to say it. I would pay
Duncan Robinson. I would be intrigued by Duncan money. Robinson. I mean, I think Miami's on the decline.
Yeah.
I really don't think they have anywhere to go up unless.
I mean, they have pieces to build
play for him next year.
They have. Pieces to build. They're in a similar place to the Celtics in years past, I would argue. Obviously, I don't think they have the talent of Kyrie and Gordon, but in the terms of they can compete now, and they have Bam, they have Hero, they have these guys who could blossom in the future.
Hero isn't good.
Okay, I'm not saying I'm comparing them to the Celtics in the sense of competing now and in the future. Obviously, they don't have the talent of the Celtics. Like Bam and Hero.
Bam is a good player. Hero is not. Jimmy Butler is good, but like if you have. Like, you're not going to get 2020 bubble Jimmy Butler probably ever again. Like, that was otherworldly, like, making everybody else around him better. Like, that's not what you got this year.
Their compete now window is definitely on the decline, like you said. I'm just saying they're also fine for the future. But at the same time, Duncan Robinson's, like, 28. So he wants to compete. If he wants to compete, I think there is a chance that they snag him. Before we briefly get into your Kyrie complaints, how much are you willing to pay Duncan Robinson? Give me a number, because I bet yours is a little lower.
How much do they have? Do you
not
know?
Much, but not much. I'm not saying that.
I pay him what you can.
Okay. But in the grand scheme of things, how much do you think he's worth? Like, how much do you think he'll get out in the open market?
Somebody would pay him at least 10.
Really? See, I think he'd get 15 to 8. I think he'd get 15 to 18.
No, I said at least 10. I don't know.
I think he'd get a Joe Harris contract. That's my guess. But
I think Celtics' main priorities is. Get Fournier back and go from there.
Yeah.
I would like that Duncan Robinson.
Fournier made some comments that scared me, man. He was like, we'll see. I'm not focused on the offseason yet. We'll see what happens. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, to get the most money, I understand. But, you
don't promise anything. You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You don't promise anything.
You don't say, oh, like, you know, if you'll have me back, I plan on resigning. You don't
perfect
say
segue. That. Perfect segue, Sam. Yeah. Rant for the last few minutes.
Show. So before, you know, the news broke today, what I thought we were going to talk about was game 4 and 5 of this series, which, of course, they lost. Kyrie played well. And I dispute that he wouldn't have played well if he didn't get 3 free throws at the beginning of game 4. It was that he shouldn't have got. But he got 3 free makes, got himself going. Stomps the logo. I mean, the water bottle thing's ridiculous. Like, should the guy have thrown the water bottle? Absolutely not. But
no,
like,
Not at all.
In his post-game press conference, he was like, yeah, like anything could have happened. Jack, if I threw a water bottle at you, what do you think would happen? Like, in all seriousness. Let me rephrase that. Jack, if Chris Sale throws a water bottle at you, what do you think happens? Like, the absolute worst thing that happens to you if Chris Sale throws a water bottle at you.
I say, ow, what the fuck, man, and then I...
There you go. He'd be fine. Kyrie can drive the lane and get slapped. You can get by one. Relax.
I think...
By the way, I released on $500 bail today.
Okay, gotcha. I'll play a little devil's advocate here, I suppose. Did Kyrie oversell the dramatics? Yes, of course. He's Kyrie Irving. He's going to be dramatic. He's going to be dramatic about it. At the same time, I completely agree with his point in that they shouldn't be treated like they're in a zoo. The fans are there to watch a game. They're not there to dump popcorn. They're not there to spit on them. They're not there to huck a water bottle at his head. So, like,
it's true. I said the guy should have did it.
At the same time, a random guy comes up to you in the street and chucks a water bottle out of your head. You're going to be pissed. Obviously, you're going to be fucking pissed. So, I agree with Kyrie in the sense that he should have done it. Was he dramatic? Yes. We can talk about the logo thing briefly. I said this on the pregame. I don't give a shit about the logo thing. He can do what he wants. I really don't care. Was it childish? Hell yes. It was a baby thing to do. I think it was stupid and tacky, but I don't care that he did it. But I'll let you speak your feelings about
that. I don't like that he did it. As a Celtics fan, I don't like that he did it. I wish more players would do things like that around the league. I think it's a prick move when you score 40 or whatever you scored on a team without like three of its starters when you're playing behind Kevin Durant and James Harden, like whip-de-doo. But at the same time, like, all right, cool. Like, that's fiery. The problem I have with it is the Celtics didn't do anything about it. They talked about this on the radio today. Like, somebody should have, like, hard fouled him in the next game. Like, they should have, like, he drives the lane, like, hit him. Like, if you're a player, like, that should mean more to you. And you can say, so what, it's stupid, so what, it's childish. He did it. He went out of his way to do it.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and like,
So, let me ask you this, though, before we continue. What player would you like to do that? Who would you have wanted to see do that?
Marcus, Tristan, anybody. I don't care who it is.
Let me counter then.
And Marcus, I know you won't. The one that comes to mind because he's, you know, kind of like the captain.
Yes.
Been here the longest. He's fierce.
And you won't like this answer. Marcus Smart.
I know they're friends.
Kyrie Irving for 2 years. Yes, they're friends. They're not going to hard foul their friend. Marcus Smart played for him with 2 years. Tristan Thompson played with him for even more than that in Cleveland. Jason Tatum's his friend. I don't, but they're still friends.
I don't give a shit.
It goes deeper than
Kevin Garnett probably hasn't talked to Ray Allen since he left for Miami.
Yes. Okay.
But they played together for 5 years. They won a title.
Basketball, it's very different, though. Basketball is a different game, even from 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago that stuff happened. Basketball is very different. These guys, like, realistically, like, I saw a post. The guys that are coming up now played AAU together. They've known each other for longer than being in the league. You can't compare the game now to Kevin Garnett. Kevin
Those
Garnett's
guys
a one
knew
of
each
one.
Other.
Okay.
Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen were drafted a year apart.
A one of one, though. He's a one of one, though. Doesn't give a shit about friendships. People nowadays, like Marcus Smart and Kyrie Irving, are friends. Like,
the
this
problem is there aren't players like that anymore. That's what I'm saying. I understand that they're not like that, but they should be like that at least a little bit.
I guess.
He steps on that logo. That is everybody that has played there. That is the guys you're playing with every single day. That is his time spent there with you. And all these other guys that you're friends with.
I mean,
he quits on the team and goes and plays with KD, and now he's going to be in your division, which divisions don't matter, but you still have to play him 4 times a year.
Yeah.
And you don't care? You're fine with that? It's not personal to them? He said, you're not good enough? Nothing?
Me, personally? No, I don't really care. It's a fucking piece of paint. More than anything, I think it was just childish. I don't think... yes, there was malice behind it. Yes, he was mad. But you know why he was mad? Because he was getting booed all night. It's because, in his mind, he didn't quit on the team, right? And you can say
he
whatever you want.
He did quit on
okay,
the team,
Sam, Jack. Sam, yes,
he
Sam,
shot
yes.
like 6
Sam,
and 30 and said he should have taken more
Sam.
Shots.
Sam, I understand. And yes, I agree with you. He quit on the team. I'm going to speak from the mind of Kyrie Irving. He doesn't think he quit on the team. He didn't like the situation he was in. He felt, whatever, mistreated by Boston. And again, let me finish my statement because I'm not telling you my thoughts. I'm telling you what's going on in Kyrie's brain. He feels mistreated by Boston. He feels the media was out to get him or whatever in Boston. He didn't like the atmosphere. Boston is treated – and let me finish. I see you want to talk. Boston treated him shitty or whatever while he's here. Then he got booed for two games straight and was slewed in the media. He was angry. He did something stupid and childish after being angry, and he stepped on a piece of paint on the hardwood. I understand the meaning behind it, but in his mind, that is what happened. So from that perspective, I don't give a shit. Like, I just don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's going to be a headline that'll blow over in 2 days. But yeah, I just don't think it matters. Kyrie Irving sees it as, oh,
Boston. I'm not upset so much at him for doing what he did. Fine, do it. You're angry with the fans. You're angry with the city. Fine. Do that. But if you're on the team, you should feel something towards that. That is your team that he disrespected blatantly. He went out of his way to do it, and you can't say it's meaningless because he wouldn't have went out of his way.
What are they going to do? What do you want him to do? Push him? Get suspended?
Yes. What? Yes, push him. Knock him down. Hard foul him. Do something. You don't have to fight him.
We're not in the 80s.
Ass for one play. Don't go hug him after the game.
Okay. See, I also think that people who say the hugging stuff is stupid is a stupid, stupid take. I also think that's really dumb. They're friends. They're friends. They're going to say it's a respect thing after the game. I think they're allowed to go say good game to your friends after a hard fought series. Like, they have nothing.
You don't need to go hug everybody.
Yes, you do, because they're friends. They have relationships with all these players.
This is getting unbearable, Jack. I can't even fucking hear you. I finish talking, and then you freeze.
All right, well, we can wrap it up. We ranted about the Kyrie thing. We have very differing thoughts, clearly, so we can wrap up the show. Hopefully, we'll have more time to rant in the future. More news comes out. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Bannertown USA. You can follow me at Jack Simone NBA, and Sam, per usual, wrap us up.
Thank you very much for listening. You can follow Jack at Jack Simone NBA. You can follow me at Sam LaFrance NBA. You can follow Bannertown at Bannertown USA. That's our show for today. Bye.